Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that it in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Praise God. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous in every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers, for their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about a giving church. I'm thankful today that I am blessed to be a pastoring a giving church. Amen. Turn around and look at that back wall back there. We are a giving church. We're sending missionaries all around the world to preach the gospel to every nation. Amen. We're endeavoring to reach out in our community and all around. Amen. Because of this, because of a giving church. And I want us to increase, amen, in our giving, because God wants to do greater things in your life. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Giving is a powerful sign in one's life that God is first. Amen. God is using you. God is working in your life. It's a sign to others that you are trusting in the Lord. Amen. And you believe that God is in charge of your finance. Amen. And if you can get that concept down in your spirit, down in your heart, down in your mind, God can do greater things through your life. Amen. Giving opens the floodgates of the spiritualness, the spirit of God flowing in our lives. Amen. Our hearts, it's a condition of our heart. When we hold back, God can't bless. But when we give, when we release ourselves to give, then God's blessings and all the things of the Spirit can work and operate through us. So giving is very vital. There are areas in our lives that act as barometers of our spiritual progress. And perhaps there is no better indicator than how we give financially to the work of God. It matters to God if you're a giver. Amen. We can measure where you are spiritually by how you give. And what kind of attitude your heart is when it comes to being a giver. It's a spiritual barometer. Giving financially demonstrates a degree of commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen. When you start to give, you are committing to God because you're trusting in Him. You're believing His word, and you're starting to exercise your belief to see what God, if God's word is true. God is by His very nature a giver. Amen. We want to be like Him, right? Our goal, I want to be like Christ. I want God. I want to represent God. I want His presence, His spirit to invade my life, and I want to become like Him. And those who are imitating, are intimately associated with Him, give accordingly. God is a giver. We need to be givers. Amen. So there are seven laws of the harvest. The only thing that can prevent reaping is failure to faithfully sow. No farmer ever goes out and just hopes that the corn grows. Just looks at that field and spends days. He maybe takes his lawn chair out there and sets it up at the corner of the field and just says, "Oh man, I can't wait till this corn comes up." No. He goes out early in the spring, as soon as they can get the tractors in the field, as soon as they can drop the plows, and they start to till the ground up, and they start to prepare the ground, and they start to get everything in place. They fertilize. They do all these things. They try to dewater. They try to do all these things to make sure when they plant and they sow the seed that something will come up. And they always hope for more than what they put in the ground. Amen. They are looking for a great yield. So they sow accordingly, expecting a great harvest. That's how we ought to be when we're giving. We ought to give in an expectancy that God is going to give us a greater harvest than what we sow. If you want a big field to harvest, sow a big harvest. Sow it out, and God will give the increase. He will bless you. Amen. You cannot outgive God. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." It's that simple. If you don't sow, you can't reap. It is a law. It does not change. Amen. Giving is sowing. You're sowing seed into God's economy. Amen. And so it's vitally important that we understand that God honors His word. We reap only what has been sown. So if things aren't lining up in our lives financially, and we're trusting God, but if we haven't sown a seed, then we can't reap a seed. Here's a little mustard seed. You put that seed in the ground and you do the proper things to cause this seed to grow, it will reap bountifully a big, big bush will grow out of that mustard seed, and it will reap a harvest. So give and it shall be given. Bless the Lord and He will bless you. Something has to be put in the ground. Amen? For God to be able to give you a harvest. Psalms 126:6. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. In Matthew 25:24, it says, then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. This man, God had given them instructions. The master had given them instructions to go and take the talent that he had given them and to use it to make it grow, basically. Don't just put it, don't just not do anything with it. God has given each and every one of us finance, blessing. Amen. It all belongs to him. Amen. We would not be able to be who we are if it wasn't for the Lord. Amen. God ultimately owns it all. And he has put us there to maintain and take what he's given us and make it prosper. Well, here this man took what he had, and because of the fear that he had, didn't do anything with what God had given him. And kept it and never done a thing with what God had given him. And he hid it. And when the master returned and saw that he had done nothing with it, it enraged him to where he took it from him and gave it to those that had. Because God wants us to sow. He wants blessings to flow in your life. He gives you what you have because he trusts you with it. And the more you do with what you have, the more he will give you and the more he'll trust you with. Amen. You got to start with the little things. Start little. God blesses little things. And he does it, when he blesses you, he gives you greater things to have rule over. So we must follow his plan, and we reap the same kind as we sow. If you throw this seed out, you're going to get mustard. You're not going to get corn. You're not going to get wheat. Whatever you sow is what you reap. Amen. It's a law of harvest. It's a law. It cannot be changed. It is simple. We sow, we reap. Period. And if we sow generously, we reap generously. So we can trust the Lord today that God will bless us. If we sow generously, God's going to bless you generously. Amen. Genesis 1:11. It says, then God said, let land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land, and bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. God planted it. The seed produced what he said it was going to produce. It was so. So when you do it generously, it will come generously. It will be so. Amen? If everyone in this church were just like me, what kind of church would this church be? Probably a pretty boring church. We reap in a different season than we sow. Okay? If I put seed in the ground today, I'm not going to reap tomorrow. Amen? So many times we grow impatient with God. God, I've been given, I've been doing, blah, 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 blah. God's got you. Amen? He knows where you're at. He's got his hand upon your life. And if you will trust him, he will come right on time. Amen? And it won't be when you sow. God will bless you in due season. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Key word, don't give up. Amen? It's coming. Your blessing is on its way. God is working it out. Amen? He'll work it out in your favor. He will bless you. Amen? That new job is just right around the corner. Amen? That financial blessing is coming that you have no idea is on its way because of your fruitfulness in giving, your desire to see God do what he says he's going to do. We reap more than what we sow. So when God gives you in the season, in his season, when the harvest comes, you can just count on it. It's going to be greater than what you gave. And what you give, you're going to reap more than what you gave. God's word is forever settled. It never changes. The farmer banks on this law of harvest. He goes and buys tractors on it, believing that the harvest is going to be greater than the seed they sowed. And so you can borrow on God's blessings and trusting that God is going to come through. Amen? Because of your faithfulness in giving generously. God will bless you generously. If the farmer received back only what he put out, there would be no point in planting the field. He'd be better off just taking the seed and going and feeding it to the cows. So it makes sense to give generously. You are planting a harvest. You're planting your blessings. So the more you plant, the more you will be blessed. So be a planter. Be a farmer of God's blessings. Because of this law, you cannot outgive God. I dare you to try. Just try it out for a little while. See that you cannot outgive God. Amen. You won't be able to do it. Malachi 3:10. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that there will not be room enough to store it.
God blessed me, and the timing was just right, so I know it's from that. With, I life.
Yeah.
So that was like a huge, you know, blessing. So, you know, whatever God tells you, give, and, you know, because he does.
Yeah.
He blesses you.
You can't, you cannot outgive him.
It is
impossible because of the law that he put in place. The harvest law. If you sow generously, it will come. If you sow sparingly, you'll get sparingly. It comes as it is. Yes, he does. Brother Pritt?
Shannon's point about sharing. I was listening to a message of Brother Josh sharing the other day, and about giving, and he told a story that really blessed me. Because I've got a promise that God's going to bless me. I mean, I didn't ask for it. He gave me a blessing. Yeah. Okay, I'll take your promise. But as with anything, life can get delayed. Our sometimes our faith can really be tested. Well, long story short, he was in an offering, in a meeting where they took off a special offering, and this guy didn't have any money to give. $10. He said, go put this on the altar. Brother Herring is telling this guy. He said, God's going to bless you. Specifically, the man of God said, you do this and God bless you. I appreciate the man's honesty. He said, I don't believe it. He said, I don't think God is going to do it.
Right.
He said, go give the offering. He said, I don't think God is going to do it. He said, go give the offering.
Right.
Take this $10. Put it up on the altar and God. He had to argue and talk this man. He said, obeying him. You know what? The man did it.
Yeah.
Reluctantly. Didn't have faith that God was going to bless him. The man of God.
Right.
So Brother Herring at another meeting, Brother Herring, you know, he said, there goes my Taco Bell money, because back then apparently Brother Herring didn't have, you know, a lot of money brought together. Anyway, long story short, he saw the man, he said, you remember me, Brother Herring? He said, yeah, I remember you. God had blessed that man with a job. He said, you don't understand. He said, I didn't just need a job. He said, God didn't just bless me with a job. And he said, they looked at my qualifications. They didn't just give me a job. They gave me, bought me up to being a manager. And that really spoke to me because, you know, we do our best to try and put ourselves in a position for God to bless us by believing, you know, by trusting God's promise. Yes, God, you trust it. I agree with it. And time goes on, you know, and it doesn't happen quite when we want it to. And then we can get discouraged by that. God, if you can bless that man who confessed with his mouth, I don't believe you, man of God, but just and bless him because he obeyed the man of God, what can God do when I do obey him?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The word God says obedience is better than sacrifice. Being obedient to the word of God, to the man of God, God honors your obedience. Amen. Yeah. This is all that God's working for, to show us a few things.
came from, but somebody delivered a box of steaks to the house. There was one time that at this was such a blessing. Don't ever take anything little God does and make it feel little because it's so big. We had two cans of tomato soup and just a couple pieces of bread. And I went in and I'm like, God, I'm not going to let this bother me. God has blessed us before, He'll bless us again. I went in, I prayed over those two cans of soup and I thanked Him for it. And I said, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, You will provide. But I said, Father, it sure would be nice to have some pepperoni pizza for dinner tonight. We have not had such a treat in such a long time. I'm not kidding, within 15 minutes, a brother from our church showed up with a $50 gift card and a box full of food for us to have, and then told us, well, I'm taking you out to Sharon Center, we'll go to the food pantry and grab some things there. And there was a sister in Christ, and she said, Dwayne, I'm going to take your wife with me because God asked me to do a favor for you guys. Is that okay? So she took me, and when she said the words, tears just poured down my eyes because I didn't tell anybody. It's between me and the Lord. She said, do you want pepperoni and cheese? I said, what? She goes, I'll show you when we get there. She bought two pizzas for our family that night, breadsticks and two liters of pop. And that's not the only time God did that. There was another time that I was wanting ice cream at the tree. And a friend of my son's showed up and she took her son to McDonald's and bought us all, brought us all hot fudge sundaes.
Amen.
So God knows your need.
Right.
And even in the littlest things, I've heard of somebody decorating their kitchen and a friend of them blessed them with towels and things that match your kitchen exactly. God sees the desires.
That's right. Yes, He does.
And as long as we're faithful to Him, and sometimes even when we're not, He goes above and beyond because He didn't have to do that even for my husband.
Right.
But He did it to show my husband, you know what, I'm a caring father.
Amen. That's right. We reap the full harvest only if we preserve. We got to do our part. Amen. God has given you financial blessings. He wants you to take and be a good steward of what He's given you. If you're going and blowing it, don't expect God's blessings to flow. Amen. If what God has given you, you're not managing properly. So don't plan on paying your tithes this week and suing the church next week because you didn't get rich. You know what I mean? You've got to plan and trust the Lord and believe God and do right with your finances, and God's blessings flow. There's more to the law. So In Job 42:12, it says, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. But that came later. Amen. Job was a harvester. He planted generously, and later in life, God blessed Job generously. So we can't do anything about last year's harvest, but we can about this year's. We can, you know, look at, oh man, I should have been a greater giver. I should have done this. I should have done that. But no, don't put that off. Click that rear view mirror off and quit looking back. Amen. Look forward to what God's wanting to do now in your future. Amen. If you have failed to pay your tithes, the law gave guidance for dealing with it. Leviticus 27:30-33, it says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Whoever would redeem any of their tithe must add a fifth of the value to it. Every tenth of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. No one may pick out the good from the bad or make it a substitution. If anyone does make a substitution, both the animal and its substitute become holy and cannot be redeemed. So God made a way for us to do our part. What if you have never paid tithe or failed to pay tithe regularly or quit paying tithe? 2 Corinthians says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. In other words, get over it. Right. Trust the Lord now and move on and reap the blessings of God. Amen. God wants to bless you. But here's the thing. If you don't do your part, don't expect pastor to pray for you into a new job. Right. If you can't do what God requires of you, you're asking me to go against God. Right. That's why I won't pray for you if I know you're not paying your tithe to be blessed of God financially. Right. Amen. Everybody knows that God requires a tenth. I mean, one country singer sings about it. If it's good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for Uncle Sam. Ray Stevens, I think, he sings that. Huh? If it's good enough for Jesus, it ought to be good enough for Uncle Sam. Well, you know, so if you'll do your part, the church, the presence of God will do its part. Amen. I'll pray for you when you're doing what God's requiring of you. Amen. The church will get behind you and we'll believe God for the miracle. Amen. But you got to do it. You got to obey the Lord, Brother Pritt. Right.
At one time, I was going to church, and you know, a person made comments, well, the church wants your money. And I thought, well, yeah, but so does Miller Lite, Marlboro, Walmart, you know, let's go on down the line. Cleveland Indians, I mean, do you think they're doing it for the fun of it?
Yeah.
When they're charging $8 for a hot dog and $14 for a beer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, but yet people go and they dump thousands of dollars in that line.
Right.
Because that's what they like.
I challenge you to take what you used to spend in the world to what you spend now in the church. Calculate it up and see what the difference is. I guarantee you that you put a whole lot more into the things of the world than what you're putting in right now to God. Amen? What do you value? Amen. Somebody said, show me your checkbook and I'll show you where your heart is. I can read your life by where you spend your